Let's pray. May the words that I speak bring you praise, O God. May the words that I speak be seasoned with love and grace. May the words, O Lord, that I choose to say bring glory and not shame to your name this day. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew, the 25th chapter, the first 13 verses. Hear now the word of God. This section is called the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in and with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This passage of scripture comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's not the Sermon on the Mount that we normally think of. It's a different Sermon on the Mount. The one we most think about is in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. It starts with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those blessedness, those Beatitudes. It's where we see the golden rule. We see the Lord's Prayer. We see that if we don't forgive others, we will not be forgiven. And it finishes up with the parable Jesus tells about the builder who builds his house on the sand and the builder who builds his house on the rock. There are a lot of mountains in the Gospels. We have this mountain, and when you go to Israel, this mountain is really a hill. I would say it's a tall hill. It'd be kind of like our hills if you took all the trees off of them. But you go, and it's just north of the Sea of Galilee, and you drive up to the top of the hill, and there's a church up there, and it's called the Church of the Beatitudes. And they believe that on this hill, as you look down it, is where Jesus would have done the sermon for the Sermon on the Mount, because it was a big crowd, it says, was there. Now, if you go to the bottom of the hill and cross the road, there's another church right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and it is called Tabgha, T-A-B-G-H-A. You would be surprised, but that church is to honor the feeding of the 5,000. They think, tradition has it, that it's the same hill. The Sermon on the Mount and the feeding of the 5,000 was on the same hill. Imagine that. But there are other mountains. In Matthew 16, Jesus takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, which is sitting at the base of Mount Hermon. And then as you go through Matthew a little bit further, we have the Mount of Transfiguration, and scholars believe that took place on Mount Tabor, which is about 15 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. At the end of Matthew, Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and he goes to the temple. That is Mount Moriah. And he meets, and then he leaves, and he crosses the Kidron Valley, and he comes up the other side on the Mount of Olives, and this is where he preaches the second Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you want to know what it looks like, if you Google a picture of Jerusalem, one of the pictures you will see is in the distance you'll see the gold dome. Y'all seen that picture? The gold dome of the Temple of the Rock? It's a Muslim mosque. And you're looking from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley over into Jerusalem. The difference between then and now is that when Jesus and his disciples were looking across there, the temple was where the mosque is. And so that was what was happening there. When we get to this parable, Jesus liked to teach in parables. And parables, the best way to think of a parable is it's a comparison. Even in our parable for the morning, this morning it said, the kingdom of heaven is like. There were 10 bridesmaids. The kingdom of heaven is like. It compares something that's incomparable, that's hard to explain, and it compares it to something usually pretty earthy. Sometimes it's talking about casting seeds. Sometimes it's talking about finding a pearl, a lot of things that we can relate to. But it's a comparison. Many scholars years ago thought that a parable had one meaning and one meaning only. And then as the years go by, they have changed that to say it's more like an onion where you can peel back different meaning as you go deeper. But this meaning is pretty simple, isn't it? You better be ready. You better be ready. I talked about being ready several weeks ago because people were saying it looks like the end of the age and Jesus is coming back because things look really bad and all that sort of thing. And I told you, sang that song about hoeing cotton, he'll find us hoeing cotton when he comes. Here we go again. And then I was thinking as I was preparing this sermon, one of the things I know is that if you think since the days of Jesus, we've been looking for the end of the age. But most of the people who've lived between now and then have died, and they've seen Jesus a different way, right? And I thought to myself, I wonder how many times I've come close to meeting Jesus. And so I thought about when I was 2 years old. I was wearing a cloth diaper. They didn't have Pampers back when I... They just had invented diapers when I was born. And so we had a... I snuck out of our house, and I don't know where my parents were. They were really bad parents. And I was trying to escape. And I walked over to this lot that was next door to our house. That there was a little goldfish pond. It was probably that deep. And it had these lily pads in it and goldfish in it. And the next thing I know, but I don't remember this part of it really, is I fall in the pool. And the next thing I know, I really don't know any of this. I was told this is what happened because we have a picture. In that day and age, if anything happened to you and you were dirty or whatever, you know where you ended up? They would take a picture of you naked in the bathtub. I think the picture, the best I can remember it, I'm still wearing my cloth diaper and there's a lily pad in there with me, them cleaning me up. But you think about a two-year-old falling into a pool, can't swim. I could have met Jesus that day. Then about 2 or 3 years later, I was at the swimming pool in Thompson. I could not swim, but I had a really big life jacket. And I would go up to the 3-meter board and climb the ladder and go sit out on the edge of the board and I would dive, kind of roll off the diving board and do a dive off the high dive. You hit head first and all of a sudden the life jacket pulls you back up real quick, and that's really an awful lot. One day, I'm climbing the 3-meter board and I put my foot on the top of that diving board. It slips and I fall backwards 10 feet to the concrete deck. Thank God I had on a life jacket. Saved my life. I could have met Jesus that day. And then in the second grade, I walked out in front of a car and got hit. I don't remember that part until I woke up in the hospital. But they said I looked like a rag doll being hit as it hit me and knocked me about 20, 25 feet. I could have met Jesus that day. You got to be ready. And y'all, I know you've seen the pictures of me when I was driving Dennis's car when it blew up. I could have seen Jesus that day. And then this past Monday, I was going to get the food for Wednesday night supper. I was, I think it's Jones Mill Road where it crosses Buford Highway, and I was behind the railroad track right there. It was a long distance between me and Buford Highway. The light turns green. I move over the railroad track. I get to where Buford Highway is. I see the car's stopped, and I'm about to pull out. And then there's this 24-foot truck, van truck, doing about 50-plus miles an hour, flying through the red light. If it had hit me, we would have had a different service today. You got to be ready, don't you? I don't know how many more lives I've got, but I want to meet Jesus a different way. So, we come to this parable. I love this parable as a preacher because it's about weddings. And they have a mistake that happens at the wedding. I've never done a wedding that didn't have something go wrong. I have to spend time in premarital counseling talking about this wedding is not going to be perfect. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to do something because you've invited imperfect people to be a part of your wedding. It might be you. It might be your groom. It might be the flower girl, the ring bearer. It might be the usher that forgets to go get your grandmother at the end of the service. Somebody might forget the marriage license. Somebody might forget the rings. Something's going to go wrong. So you might as well get used to it, get ready for it. It's going to happen. Very first wedding I did was the same weekend I did my very first funeral. I think it was a 3 o'clock wedding. The bride wanted to be there at 1 o'clock. She showed up at 10 to 3. It was November. She looked like she was getting ready to go to Hilton Head or Tybee or somewhere. She was wearing a sundress and her hair was in rollers. The little lady playing, the pianist wanted to know, when should I start playing the piano? I said, when you see the bride in her wedding dress and her hair not in rollers. And then when we got to the part about kissing the bride, you may kiss the bride, I thought somebody was going to yell out, you can get a room. They kissed for like 25 seconds or 30 seconds. That's embarrassing to everybody. I went to one wedding where the groom left because he forgot the marriage license and drove away and was gone for about 45 minutes. I had to leave because I had somewhere else to go, but I understand he got back about an hour later and they had the wedding and everybody just sat there waiting on the groom to show up. Something's going to happen. And this wedding, I don't know where the groom was, but if I'd have been that groom, my bride would have said something to me. I know it was a different time back there, but my wife would have said something to me if she would have been my wife after I did that, show up after midnight. But it says there were 5 foolish bridesmaids, 5 wise ones. I'm going to give the foolish ones the benefit of the doubt. They've been to enough weddings. They knew the groom was going to show up in time. They filled that lamp up as oil as much as they needed, and they figured everything was going to go like it was supposed to. Everything is going to not just, we have that tick-tock. We already have it. We know what's going to happen at 1203 and 1205 and 1211. Well, you name it, it's going to happen. I don't need any more oil. The others said, remember that wedding 3 or 4 years ago? We better take some more jars of oil. And then what happens is the groom doesn't show up. You know, nothing is said in the parable about those bridesmaids, those virgins going to sleep. You would think if they had really been on their toes, about the time they figured out, I don't know where he is, but I'm not going to waste any more of this oil. That stuff is expensive. I'm going to put my lamp out till he gets here. But they went to sleep. And then when the bridegroom gets there, of course, they're all excited, but the folks, the foolish ones, don't have any oil. And they said, give us some oil. And they said, no, you know, you're out of luck. You need to go find some oil of your own. You see these candles? You know why they are lit? Because at 10:48, my watch goes off. And it reminds me that we got to pray and I got to light the candles. At the 8:45 service, at 8:35, I think it is, my watch goes off and reminds me to light the candles. You know what happens when we have a funeral? Usually, Monday or Tuesday, but whenever the funeral's on Saturday, I get the paschal candle out. I'll make sure every candle is filled with oil because Saturday's coming. And then I don't set my watch to tell me to light the candles. Can you have a funeral or a worship service without the candles being lit? Can you? Have you ever been in a worship service or worshiping God and there were no candles at all? Now, this is where I stray from a lot of people or these scholars about this. You know, it's one thing to say this is what you need to do for worship to take place, but their priorities got distorted. They thought it was all about candles, lamps, and oil, and they forgot it was about the bridegroom. Priorities. When it comes to your relationship with the Lord, is it all the other things like oil and lamps? Or is it the real relationship with Jesus? When he comes, and he is coming, or we're going to go to him and we're going to meet him, will we be carrying our lamps or will we have a relationship with him? The danger in church and community of church and organized religion is sometimes we let the stuff get in the way of relationship. We spend a lot of time doing a lot of things, have a lot of meetings. You got to have a lot of meetings if you're going to have a church and you're going to be organized and you're going to try to do ministry. I know that. I understand that. Boy, do I understand that. But sometimes we let all of that take the place of an actual relationship with the bridegroom. And when he comes, we aren't there to celebrate, to worship, or to be his people in the community. We're out trying to find some oil. And that's not the main thing. Priorities. Where are your priorities? If the bridegroom came today, what would he find? Would we be in the wedding without a lit lamp, still worshiping and having a good time? There are some parties that are better with the lights out, aren't they? It's better to be in the room without lights than to not to be in the room at all. How are our priorities? And what will Jesus find our priorities to be when he comes? Let's pray. Lord God, may we not be foolish. May we have good priorities. Because when you come calling, we want you to hear us say, "Here I am. Here I am. Send me." In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.